Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Final hour of our Tuesday edition. Going to talk some NFL in this final hour. Also, Parker brought up a good point. I forgot the new college football playoff rankings come out tonight, so we might touch on that at the end, as we'll see where Vanderbilt slots in after an off week. Got a little bit of help, maybe not as much as they would have hoped for. But the NFL, coming down the stretch, we got 7 weeks to go, and looking through the playoff picture, there's so much parity this year of teams that you did not expect to be at the top are there, and especially in the AFC, your perennial contenders are all kind of fighting to try and get into the playoffs or host games. And I want to start with the Kansas City Chiefs, because me and you, we did the our NFL preview show together right before the season started, and we went through and picked everything, and both of us picked the Chiefs not only to go, but to win the Super Bowl, I believe, right? Yeah, we picked the Chiefs to win it, and they're 5-5, which has them firmly in the playoff race, but they're not quite where I think they want to be. I mean, after their loss to Denver on Sunday, 3.5 games back in the division. So with Kansas City, is there a chance that this Chiefs team actually misses the playoffs with Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback?
Absolutely not. You cannot force it into my brain that they're going to miss out on the playoffs. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Travis Kelce. Rashee Rice. I mean, they have a running back by committee, obviously, with Isaiah Pacheco and a bunch of other players, but with Kareem Hunt and so forth. But
yeah.
Besides that, their upcoming schedule, Colts, Cowboys, Texans, Chargers, Titans, those five games right there, I think they'll expose the Colts a little bit. I mean, don't get me wrong, Colts are a good team. I think they're a contender for sure. But it's the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs kind of prevail there. Cowboys, another team that struggles as we watch their highlights on the screen behind you.
They had a nice game last night.
Their secondary is, I wouldn't say depleted, it's just not good. They allowed some of the most points in all the NFL. I think they win that. Texans, I think, are a little bit of fool's gold. So there's three wins there. So you can string together some wins.
Yeah.
It's just those division games when you go up against the Chargers and the Broncos and the Raiders. Those are the games you got to really take care of business.
Yeah, you look at they got home games still against the Chargers and Broncos. So those are going to be super, super important for this team because you've already lost to both those teams this year. Means tiebreaker not on your side. I'm looking at the tiebreaker, and I believe the Chargers would have the lead for it. They're 3-0 in the division, which that's the next one after your head-to-head.
Right.
So if KC was to split with the Chargers and the Broncos, likely they're not going to have the tiebreaker there, which means you could end up being a wild card team for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era. It's crazy to say that's never happened. I'm looking at it. He's played two road playoff games in his career. Two.
That's what the scriptwriters want, Jake. That's exactly what the scriptwriters
want. Yeah, they want all of us to be doubting the Chiefs right now, and then they just run off to another championship. Travis Kelce rides off into the sunset with Taylor Swift after winning his fourth Super Bowl?
I think so, yeah.
Crazy. 2-0 on the road in the playoffs. Both those came in the same year. Played the Bills in the divisional round, and then played the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. Won both of those games. But he's played 14 playoff games at home.
That's almost a full season.
It's right. He has played almost a full season, a full old season in the NFL. He's played 16 playoff games, and this is not including Super Bowls, by the way.
Right.
Only AFC playoff games, because there are no home and away in the Super Bowl. He has played 16 AFC playoff games, 14-2 in his career.
That's crazy.
Only losses: Tom Brady, his first full season as the starter, where D Ford jumped off sides and cost the Chiefs the game-winning interception that would have gotten them to the Super Bowl. And Joe Burrow, the year that Burrow came in here and beat the Titans and went to the Super Bowl. So it's Patrick Mahomes feels inevitable, but I'm also looking at it and saying they're 5-5. And yes, their schedule the rest of the way is much easier than it has been. Mm-hmm. You mentioned some of those teams. They do play the Colts this week, right? So that's a big game. You're at Dallas on Thanksgiving on a short week. You've got Houston, who's been playing better, and Houston, who is tied with them right now. Both teams are 5-5. That could be a huge game in terms of AFC playoff seeding. And then Chargers and Broncos. You're going to beat the Raiders and the Titans. I think those are gimmies. But if the Chiefs lose three games the rest of the way, meaning they go 4-3 down the stretch, you're 9-8. And does that get you in? I don't know. If you even lose two games down the stretch, you're 10-7. That's likely going to get you a playoff spot, but you're going to have to go on the road in three straight games to find your way back to the Super Bowl. You know, we said at the beginning of the year, somebody's got to beat them before I believe it's even possible. But if you're looking at the way it's sorting out right now, this seems to be the most likely chance for the Chiefs to come up short of the Super Bowl in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the stats a little bit with Mahomes dropping back, he's ranked 12th in sacks right now with the throughout the NFL. That's, I'd say, roughly middle of the pack, higher echelon of the middle of the pack. That's just, it reflects their schedule, their record of 5-5. I mean, their offensive line play, it's been good, but not great of what we've seen in years past. That's something that I think needs to fix itself a little bit for the Chiefs to kind of go on a deep run. It'd definitely make the playoffs for sure. But that's my biggest concern. Run game, it hadn't really been much of a factor with Andy Reid.
They don't have weapons at all. Like,
Rashee Rice
is their best receiver, and he's been solid since returning from his suspension. But like Xavier Worthy, who everybody was, you know, ready to go with pitchforks and torches to Buffalo for trading that pick to the Chiefs that they used to take Xavier Worthy, he's been meh this year. Travis Kelce still has his moments, but he's not the Travis Kelce of old, of course. They don't run the football all that well. Their offensive line is just okay. Like, it's Mahomes and a bunch of average players right now. And it's kind of impressive that he has them at 5-5, to be honest. The defense is still solid. They've got some players over there still. But it's impressive that he has them 500, and he's going to have to be elite Patrick Mahomes to get them back to the Super Bowl. The question becomes, do I believe in the teams that are currently going to be hosting playoff games? The Patriots are 9-2. Do I believe that the Patriots, with a second-year quarterback and a team that's good, but you look at their wins, and outside of the Bucs and Bills, their other seven wins might be against like the seven worst teams in the NFL. So do I believe in the Patriots to beat Josh Allen or Mahomes in the playoffs? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think the Steelers end up hosting playoff games. The Ravens are going to win that division. The Colts, do I believe in that? Run game travels, and Jonathan Taylor has been the best running back in football. But you look through the histories of the NFL over the last 20 years, like, how many teams with elite running backs go to the Super Bowl?
Not many.
I'm trying to think. I mean, Saquon last year, I guess, was the one, but
there's Christian McCaffrey, too, now that I think about it.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I was the teams that win the Super Bowl typically don't have, like, your elite running back.
Elite quarterback and wide receiver.
Right, and a running back who can get it done. But I guess you're right. The last couple years, you know, I take it back. And then the Broncos. They're 9-2. That defense is phenomenal. But again, do I trust Bo Nix in the playoffs? I don't think I do. He won the game against the Chiefs on Sunday, but he turns the ball over too much, and I just do not know if he's going to be able to make the play. So it's like I want to doubt Kansas City right now, but when I look at the teams above them, when we get to January, I think I'd still pick Mahomes and the Chiefs over them.
Yeah, especially if it comes down to the Chargers as well. You mentioned, you know, the head-to-head and the tiebreakers there. I'd still be on the Chiefs. I mean, again, you mentioned Bo Nix. Can you trust him throwing the ball? I'm kind of the same boat with Justin Herbert a little bit. As of late, the decision-making for him has been, I would say, spotty. I mean, you don't have your big running back and Amarian Hampton. He still has that.
Right, he's been out for
injury.
A while, yeah.
Yeah, he should be back after their bye week is what I was reading online. But that's another quarterback that's inconsistent.
The Chargers, I mean, they're up and down more than about anybody. I mean, they take care of business against the Steelers a couple weeks ago on Sunday Night Football, and then this week just get blown out by the Jaguars.
Yeah, right? It just doesn't make sense.
It's the NFL is all over the place. You never know what's going to happen. But the Chiefs at 5-5, it's very interesting to see
what could happen the rest of the way. Their schedule, very winnable, for sure. But if they if they're the sixth seed in the playoffs, it's tough. As we saw when the Titans went to the AFC Championship game, it is really hard to go on the road three straight weeks in January and get to the Super Bowl. That's why it's only been done a few times. Like, you got the Titans found a way to go beat Tom Brady in New England. They beat MVP Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And they went up big 17-7 on the Chiefs in Arrowhead and just kind of ran out of steam. It's tough to do it. But again, I don't know if I'd bet against 15.
Look, all I'm saying is when you have a team that is that good, like just in years past, and they bring that resume into the next season and their back's against the wall in the playoffs if they make it there, why? Like you said, you can't go against 15.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we're looking around the NFL playoff picture. We'll take a look at the NFC coming up next, and then we'll get into the college football playoff rankings coming up. The NFC has a lot of teams that have flaws but are very talented. There's one team that I think is at the very top. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, alongside you on this Tony Tuesday, talking some NFL here. We're going to get back into college football coming up in just a bit. The new college football playoff rankings coming out. Could be some shuffles. Alabama falling, Texas falling, Oklahoma rising. Where does the Big 12 stand in relation to Vandy? We'll get into all that coming up in just a bit. But sticking on the NFL, before we get into the NFC playoff standings and where those teams stand, I thought Top Tier had a funny comment on the YouTube chat. Amazing, the Titans were the worst team in the league last season and wound up with the toughest strength of schedule in the league this year. Talk about unfortunate. And it's true. As of right now, the Titans have played the toughest schedule in the NFL at this point. And New England, who also had a fourth-place schedule, it is maybe the easiest schedule that I've ever seen. Like, here are the wins for the Patriots. And by the way, they also lost to the Las Vegas Raiders. Yes, they beat the Bills and Bucks. The other seven wins. Dolphins, Panthers, who? Panthers are 6-5. I didn't even realize that. Sneaky, sneaky 6-5.
Rico Dowdle and Tet McMillan are legit.
That it's hilarious. I looked up and I saw they were 6-5. I'm like, the Panthers? Dolphins, Panthers, Saints, Titans, Browns, Falcons, and Jets. Those are the other seven wins outside of the Bills and Bucks. So they do have impressive wins, but man, they have beat up on the bottom of the league. And I don't think the rest of their schedule is all that tough either. If Burrow's not back on Sunday, the Bengals aren't very good. The Giants, you do play the Bills again, but you also get the Jets and the Dolphins down the stretch. Like, it's Vrabel might just back his way into a 13-4 record in year one. Again, you got to win the games. No games are gimmies in the NFL, but like in terms of one of the easiest schedules you'll ever see, that's what they got up there in New England.
But you look at the Buffalo Bills. They're probably sitting in their recliner saying, okay, go ahead, win the division. We just worry about the playoffs.
Right. I mean, Josh Allen and the Bills know better than anyone else that what you do in the regular season doesn't matter as long as you make it into the playoffs, because they have had opportunities over and over to beat the Chiefs, and they beat Mahomes and the Chiefs every year in the regular season and then find a way to lose in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to work their own things out with Keon Coleman. I mean,
right.
Not showing
right.
up.
Right, did not play.
Like
lots of wide receiver drama this week with Keon Coleman not showing up. He gets benched. Then last night, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens don't play the first series as a coach's decision, and then both of them come out and catch touchdowns.
That's cool.
And then Jamar Chase getting suspended for spitting at Jalen Ramsey.
I think, didn't Ramsey instigate that whole situation?
I mean,
right?
Those guys, you had to know when those guys were going at it that it was going to escalate somehow. I mean, Ramsey got thrown out of the game, and then Chase gets suspended. He's appealing it, but he's probably going to lose. If they had enough evidence to come out and suspend him in the first place, they have enough evidence to make it hold up. It's been all over the place this week with the wide receivers. And did you see the Abdul Carter story? We're getting off on a tangent here. I saw a tweet yesterday that Abdul Carter missed a walkthrough because he was asleep in the team facility. Like, that's a pick for the Giants, and I know the Titans were rumored to be in on him for a while there before Cam Ward became the guy. Abdul Carter, lots of talent, but you start to wonder if maybe he wasn't worth the third overall pick. Abdul Carter said, "Miss practice was an honest mistake." He only has half a sack this season.
Look, if you're in the NFL and you say that's an honest mistake, you're a rookie. That's not a rookie mistake anymore, yeah. Buddy. You're halfway through the season. You need to know what's left and right. You need to know what's right from wrong. Yeah. Up and down, all the above.
Half a sack for Abdul Carter in his rookie season so far. So, anyway, quick tangent there. To the NFC we go, though. There are a lot of teams that I think would qualify as Super Bowl contenders. The Eagles, I'm not going to put the Bears are leading their division, and I'm sorry, Corey Curtis, who will be in tomorrow. I'm not putting the Bears as a Super Bowl contender right now. Great story. Good to see them get themselves back into playoff contention. We both had them in playoff contention when we made our predictions. I don't see them as Super Bowl contenders. I would put the Packers in there. The Lions, I'm not sure, but we've seen what this core can do and the playmakers they have. I'll put them at least in that tier. I would argue no one in the NFC South. The Bucs got off to a good start, but they've lost two in a row.
Kind of flaming out a little bit.
The Seahawks, again, I don't know. Can Sam Darnold win the big one in the playoffs? Not sure. The team that I think is head and shoulders above everybody else in the NFC is the Los Angeles Rams. They are great defensively. They have a great offensive line. Matthew Stafford is playing MVP-level football. They've got a good running back and two great wide receivers. That is a team that should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now.
It's crazy to look at how good the recruiting aspect of all this has come for the Rams. They get those slew of picks a few years ago, turn those into a lot of really good players on a Sunday basis. Then you go move off of Cooper Kupp, and you bring in a guy like Davante Adams, and they haven't missed a step.
Yeah.
That's what is so, not baffling to me, but is, I guess, surprising in some aspects.
Well, it is funny because the Rams, Les Snead, famously, fart them picks of, that was their strategy when they traded for Jalen Ramsey, and they signed Odell Beckham Jr. and made the Matthew Stafford trade to go win a Super Bowl, and they did it. And I think the expectation was, all right, the Rams are going to be the worst team in the NFL for like the next 10 years because they didn't have a first-round draft pick for like half a decade, and where were the reinforcements going to come from? And guess what? They're Super Bowl contenders 5 years later, and you know where they'd be picking in the NFL draft if the season ended today?
Top five, right?
Eighth overall, because the Falcons traded the Rams their first-round pick to come up and take James Pierce in April.
Hilarious. I mean, great GMing.
Right. It went from fart them picks to we're going to go win a Super Bowl and still have a top 10 pick in the draft next year.
I mean, that means Stafford's around for like 2-3 more seasons, right?
Yeah. How old is Matthew Stafford now?
Late 30s.
He's not slowing down anytime soon. I mean, he's on track.
37.
He's 37. I would say probably two more years would be safe for Matthew Stafford with the way he's playing right now. But, yeah, this team, yeah, there's some aging guys like Davante Adams. You wonder how long. He's got 10 touchdowns this year. I don't know if that's going to keep up for another couple of seasons. But Puka Nacua is young. Kyron Williams is young. That defensive line with Verse and Fisk and Byron Young, like, that is a team that is primed to be good for a while. And, again, they have two first-round picks this year. Do you think the Rams maybe could be a team that want a quarterback in the draft this year?
I mean, I could see it.
Like, just thinking about it, with the way this team is constructed right now, they've got Stafford, and their Super Bowl window with Stafford is probably this year and next year. But if you wanted to do the Packers-like thing of go draft your next quarterback this year, let him sit behind Stafford for a year, and boom, maybe your window gets extended for five more years because you got a quarterback on a rookie contract.
Yeah, it works because they have that dynamic now. The Packers do. They have their edge rusher of the future with Micah Parsons and Jordan Love, who was the apprentice under Aaron Rodgers. So that'd work out great for the Rams in the future.
Yeah, maybe that ends up being the move for L.A. Dustin from Hopkinsville in the text line says, man, just hire the janitor from the Rams facility to coach the Titans. He's in the middle of changing urinal cakes. McVay walks in. Get the hell out. Titans just called, said interview was great, you're gone, hit the road. Yeah, I mean, that has been the strategy, right, in NFL head coaching lately, is just find anybody who has been in the same room as Sean McVay and hope he works out.
look, mentioning Sean McVay, I would say the NFL lucked out with him because he was hired as, I think, like a ball boy or a wide receiver's apprentice for John Gruden in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And then everybody found out he had photographic memory, and he absorbed everything like a sponge, and look where he is now.
Yeah, Andy Reid is the most accomplished coach in the league, mm-hmm. and he is still great at what he does. But Sean McVay is the best coach in the NFL. The fact that he has had this Rams team in contention year after year, and, I mean, I talked about it yesterday with Jared Goff. Jared Goff's rookie season was historically awful. Like, whatever you think Cam Ward's doing right now and the struggles he's had, Jared Goff was worse. And he turned him into a guy who got them to a Super Bowl. Sean McVay, I get it. Like, trying to pull off that tree has been a popular move from teams who need head coaches. You look around, I mean, Matt LaFleur was one of McVay's offensive coordinators. Kevin O'Connell was one of his offensive coordinators. Stefanski, maybe?
Maybe.
There's so many. McVay comes from the Shanahan tree, but the McVay tree is starting to grow all on its own. And the Rams, 8-2, I think they are Super Bowl favorites based on the way they're playing right now. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, the new college football playoff rankings come out tonight. Let's dive into it. Where do we think some teams who had some bad results should be? How far should they fall? Oklahoma with a big win. How far should they rise? We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Final half hour of the show. Chase and Big Joe coming up after us at noon. Again tomorrow, Corey Curtis with us for all 3 hours from News 2. We'll talk plenty of Titans and lots around college football as the new college football playoff rankings come out tonight. Before we look into that, we were listening to Lane Kiffin on the Pat McAfee show during the break there, and he has vehemently denied that there is an ultimatum for him to make a decision on his future. But there was no outright refusal that he's looking at other jobs, right? Like, he basically was like, I'm having a lot of fun here. Our team's 10-1. We're going to sit around this weekend and watch half the country lose while we don't have to play, blah, blah, blah. He brought on Kyron Lacy. Lacy?
Yeah, Kyron Lacy.
I was going to say, Kyron Lacy is the former LSU wide receiver.
Yeah.
But he came on, said, we got the best running back in the country. Like, he didn't come out and say he wasn't going to do it. So, just...
beating around the bush.
Right. I mean, I guess he's saying that he doesn't know where the ultimatum talks came from, but very interesting that it wasn't... I mean, I know he's not going to come out and straight up say, no, I'm not leaving, but
yeah.
I still think there's a good chance he goes.
It's very difficult to decipher Lane Kiffin when he talks on the Pat McAfee show because it's a mixture of sarcasm with realism, and it's hard to factor the inflection of his voice. So I'm thinking, is he being serious or is he being sarcastic? The intentions of what he's saying sound sarcastic, but the meaning of the words sound realistic.
Yeah, it's a good point. Lane Kiffin is an enigma, and we don't really know what we're going to get from him moving forward, but at least based on what he said, there's not been an ultimatum by the Egg Bowl that he has to make a decision.
Quote said it is false.
Yes, he said, I don't know where any of that stuff comes from. So,
Lane Kiffin,
I guess we'll find out, but there wasn't, at least that we heard, there was no conversation about whether his family was visiting Gainesville and Baton Rouge, so maybe that was on the don't ask list.
Is fall break a little too late for that? For the timing?
I don't know.
Maybe he's going to, you know, tour around different colleges for fall break.
Right, yeah. Maybe one of his kids is really interested in LSU in Florida.
Yeah.
And it's just a coincidence.
Or he was just craving some gumbo. I mean, you could do whatever. The Kiffin family's all over the place.
615-737-1025 if you have thoughts. Also, a quick note on the Titans. John Fossil was speaking over at St. Thomas Sports Park today as the coordinators get a chance to speak. He said that if Chim Dike can't play on Sunday, James Prochet would be the option to step in at returner. So I would expect Prochet will be elevated to the 53 once Calvin Ridley goes on IR. So That would be the assumption, which would leave you with what? Iamanner, DK, Jefferson, Kinsey, Prochet on your active roster. If either Iamanner or DK can't go on Sunday, the strep might be coming.
Catch it, fellas. Got to catch
it. Get ready. Get ready. The strep will be caught on Sunday. We'll see how many catches he has. Anyway, college football playoff rankings. They will be updated again tonight. Current top 12 after last week, and we'll go through the bracket projection. Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, A&M 3, Alabama 4. That would have been the byes, but Alabama losing, so they will fall. At 5, Georgia would expect that they take that spot from Alabama. Texas Tech 6, Ole Miss 7, Oregon 8, Notre Dame 9, Texas 10, Miami, the ACC bid, would be the 11 seed, and South Florida 12. The next four teams out would be Oklahoma, BYU, Utah, and Vanderbilt. So, lots going to change in there. Mentioned Alabama going to fall. How far do they fall is the question.
Ooh. I mean, three spots?
They're not going to fall out of the bracket, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, that. They have the wins to back up. I mean, you've beaten, if you're Alabama, you've beaten Georgia, you've beaten Vanderbilt. Those are both top 15 wins, so they're going to be up there. I would say they fall past Georgia. They fall past Texas Tech. They fall past Ole Miss and Oregon. I think Alabama falls to 8.
Wow.
And the other four all slide up one notch. So Georgia would move into a bye position. Then you'd have Texas Tech is the 5, Ole Miss 6, Oregon 7, Alabama 8, Notre Dame 9. That seems fair.
Yeah.
Do you punish? This is more of a rhetorical question, but do you punish A&M for the first half against South Carolina? I don't think so.
No, you can't.
They're still undefeated. I think they stay at 3.
Yeah, you can't punish a team like that. I mean, they've accomplished so much this season, and obviously we all know South Carolina is going to be remembered for
right.
blowing leads.
No,
like
the answer is definitely no. Yeah. They shouldn't fall, but thought maybe it was something to factor in. I think you don't move them up, obviously. Like, Indiana is now 11-0. They're not going to pass Indiana. Like, I thought maybe they should have last week. But A&M will be 3. So that brings you to the bottom of the bracket. You've got 9 teams there that are in. One more at-large bid. Oh, and I didn't even think about this. Does Oklahoma pass Notre Dame?
If they should have last week.
I think they should. Does Oklahoma pass Alabama? Yes. So actually, you know, I'm thinking about it. Alabama might even fall even further. You've got Oklahoma up to 9. Alabama.
Where is Notre Dame in this?
So that's the question. Where is Notre Dame in
this?
So
the way I would have it is Oklahoma 8, Alabama 9, Notre Dame 10.
Okay.
Because so Oklahoma and Alabama both have better resumes than Notre Dame, and Oklahoma has the head-to-head
yeah.
over Alabama.
I would flip Alabama and Notre Dame. I know that may be a little controversial, but
that is the inflection point of the bracket right there, because those are the last 3 at-large bids.
Yeah. I would flip Alabama and Notre Dame that 9 and 10 spot, primarily because you look at a team like Vanderbilt who does not have the head-to-head win, and I'm factoring Vanderbilt into this because they deserve to be in the conversation,
yeah.
but they don't have that head-to-head win over Alabama. So that gives the committee another reason why they shouldn't be in. It's unfortunate, but that's what the national media does.
The most interesting thing I'm looking for tonight, Vanderbilt and Texas, how do they rank them? Because Texas now is a 3-loss team.
Mm-hmm.
Vanderbilt is 8-2, but Texas does have the head-to-head win over Vanderbilt. How they slot them this week is massive, because yes, Vanderbilt, their win over Tennessee, if it happens, and again, we have these conversations under the assumption Vanderbilt wins out, because that's the only way they get in. If Vandy wins out and Texas wins out, Texas would have the win over Texas A&M at the end of the year, which would be more impressive than a Vandy win over Tennessee.
Right.
How they sort them tonight could decide whether Vanderbilt gets in at the end of the year. Because if you put a 3-loss Texas above Vanderbilt today, then it's not going to change, right? Even if Vanderbilt wins out, unless Texas loses to A&M. But if you put a 7-3 Texas above an 8-2 Vanderbilt, you're going to put a 9-3 Texas over a 10-2 Vanderbilt.
And then you go look at the ACC and you say, what about Georgia Tech? The team that's
that almost lost to a one-win BC team this weekend.
Yeah. Again, you go off the resume. Like you mentioned earlier in the show, where does resume factor into all this?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're only factoring in who's hot, who's not in the last part of the season.
Yeah, and they're going to use the eye test, which is basically what they said with Notre Dame, is we view them as a complete team. I'm like, well, what does that have to do with like what they do on the field?
Right.
What data points can you point to me, USC is the interesting one. Parker, I'll give you a chance to speak here. USC heading to Eugene to take on Oregon, and so they kind of control their own destiny if they win this weekend. But where does the committee put them? Currently, they were behind Miami and Georgia Tech.
I don't know where the committee will put them, but I will tell the committee where they should put USC is inside the top 12. And if you want to put them at 11 or 12, okay, that's fine. I think Miami and USC both have an argument, but USC has a win over Iowa, and they have a win over Michigan. So two ranked wins, and the last 4 or 5 games, they've looked like a completely different team on last year. And if they care so much about offensive, defensive metrics, USC couldn't stop molasses in December last year, and their defense has improved significantly. So USC has a strong case to be inside the top 12.
I agree.
And if it turns out that they aren't, that's okay because they play Oregon.
Right.
And it'll take care of itself.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be in the top 12. I think they maybe slide past Georgia Tech, but not much further. But you're right that they have that game against Oregon where that feels like an elimination game. Oregon would still have a chance to get in with two losses, but for USC, you got to win that game to have any chance at the playoff. The ACC is interesting, and we can talk about that on the other side. Miami, currently the highest-ranked ACC team, but they have the toughest battle to get into the ACC championship game. They need lots of help to get there. And will their resume, if they're 10-2 and miss out on the ACC championship game, be enough to get them in? We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final segment, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you for a few more minutes. Chase and Big Joe coming up right after us. Tomorrow, Corey Curtis from News 2 is with us. So, looking at the college football playoff rankings, a new edition will come out tonight. Vanderbilt, I think the most important thing for you is, are you in front of Texas? Everything else all kind of will work itself out, but if the committee says a 3-loss Texas is better than Vanderbilt now, they will say that again if that's the record at the end of the season. So that is important. The ACC, though, is very interesting because right now Miami is the highest-ranked ACC team, but it's not looking like they're going to get in as an at-large team. Possible, unlikely. So they have to get to the ACC championship game or else some other random team from the ACC is going to get in. Here are the scenarios for the ACC championship game. If Georgia Tech beats Pitt this week, Georgia Tech is in. So the Yellow Jackets control their path. I would argue Georgia Tech controls their path as an at-large team too. You beat Pitt, you beat Georgia, you're probably in.
Yeah.
I don't think they beat Georgia, but Georgia Tech can beat Pitt and get into the ACC championship game. Virginia will reach it if they beat Virginia Tech, SMU loses to either Louisville or Cal, or Pitt loses to Georgia Tech or Miami. So they likely need some help there. Miami needs to win out, and they need a ton of help. They need UVA to beat Virginia Tech, Pitt to beat Georgia Tech, Duke to beat North Carolina, SMU to beat Louisville, Cal to beat SMU. And so they need – the Miami's not going to the ACC championship.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yes, that's... they need everything. Everything. And Pitt needs a ton. SMU needs a ton. So I think the most likely scenario is a Georgia Tech-Virginia ACC championship game.
Yeah.
And in that scenario, I would pick Georgia Tech to win. And Georgia Tech probably would deserve to be in. But Miami could be lurking there as an at-large team if somebody else slips up in front of them. So the ACC – very interesting, likely a one-bid league, but because Miami, who is the highest-ranked team, doesn't really have a realistic path to the ACC championship, there's an outside shot at a two-bid league.
Let me ask you this, Jake. Every year we always watch the college football playoff, and there's always one team, and minus the group of five team that gets that auto bid, minus that, there's always a one power four team that is the regular season darlings that get in, but they flop and the playoff.
Yeah.
When do we come to that conclusion of we don't include that team anymore.
Like SMU from last year?
Yeah, like a SMU or, to me, maybe Georgia Tech or a Virginia.
It would be like Georgia Tech or BYU who could get in as an at-large team.
Right.
Like, let's say Georgia Tech wins against, yeah. No, actually, that wouldn't work out. Because if they beat Georgia, they would deserve to be in.
Correct.
I guess SMU or maybe a BYU would be an example.
BYU is more,
like,
yeah.
BYU, if they go 11-1, lose in the Big 12 championship game, do they deserve to be in? If you're looking at who would put up a better fight in the playoff, I would argue a Vanderbilt would put up a better fight in the playoff than BYU. But that's not the job of the committee. Yeah. At least in my mind, the job of the committee is find the most deserving teams. And if you view that a 10-2 Vanderbilt has a better resume than 11-1 BYU, which there could be an argument for, then great. But we can't just let Vegas decide who gets in based on who we think would put up a better fight.
Well, yeah, that's fair. It's frustrating as a consumer and a fan to watch college football, and every year there's always that first-round dud of a game. You're thinking, well, I thought we were supposed to have the best 12.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and like last year, we saw Indiana got in at 11-1,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't put up much of a fight against Notre Dame. I don't know. Right now, we're on track to have Indiana and Texas A&M get byes. Would not shock me if both those teams lost their first game.
I'm with you.
Like, Ohio State, if they win out, which likely, Michigan is always an interesting one, but if Ohio State wins out, they'll be the number one seed. I like Ohio State. That's the most talented team. They've got a chance to make a run. I think the SEC, whether it's Georgia, who looks really good lately, maybe Alabama can get back on the horse. They have a chance to make a run. Indiana and Texas A&M, maybe it's just brand bias in my head, but I'm not so sure about them.
Yeah, if I had to pick a team, if it's Indiana or A&M, I'd lean A&M to be the stronger team. Just because with Cignetti, they're always, under the last couple seasons, that is, they've been the contenders in the regular season.
Yeah.
And then you get to A&M where they actually have pieces that can be there for the long haul.
Yeah. Got it. Texas A&M does have some talent. I mean, Marcel Reed is obviously a Heisman candidate. Casey Concepcion, the former NC State receiver, has been fantastic. So we'll see what happens in the playoff. Those teams, I think, are pretty much locked to be in.
Yeah.
But tonight's going to be – the committee has to make some tough decisions, and it could end up setting a precedent for what we end up seeing in the 12-team bracket at the end of the year. Joel says Navy beat USF. AAC still up for grabs. JMU also a factor. Yeah, Navy has a chance to get in. North Texas, I think, is up there. But yes, if you look at the ESPN playoff predictor, JMU is the most likely Group of Five team. So could see the Dukes in the playoffs at the end of the year.
I love it, because that would just bolster up your, you know, comment you made about the JMU head coach. I'm forgetting his name already.
Yeah, Bob Chesney.
Bob Chesney.
He's being rumored for UCLA as well, which would be a – I mean,
wow,
all the way across the country. But yeah, Penn State, I saw that maybe there's a chance if they miss out on a couple other guys that Chesney could end up being their pick. So it's going to be an important ranking tonight. And I still wish they didn't do weekly rankings. I think you should do like one at maybe this point in the year, like the NCAA basketball committee does their top 16.
Right.
Do something like that and then do your one at the end. Because the rankings tonight, again, example, if you put Texas over Vanderbilt, that sets a precedent for what you're going to do at the end of the year.
But what else am I going to talk about on a week-to-week basis?
That is
if they
true.
Don't do this?
That is true.
Jake, I need something to talk about, okay? Because I'm not talking about the Titans.
We all do. We all do. With a 1-9 football team in town, we all need something to talk about. That'll do it for us today. Always appreciate Dr. Crane coming on. Tomorrow, Corey Curtis will be with us for all 3 hours of the show to talk Titans, college football, and much more. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.